Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Inside Psycho ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
The following contains mature content. You've been warned. From Wondery, I'm Mark Ramsey, and this is part one of Inside Psycho. December 8, 1954. A local farmer, Seymour Lester, was doing what he always did at this time in the afternoon. He walked into a tavern in the tiny hamlet of Pine Grove, Wisconsin, looking for a drink. This time of day, it was rarely crowded.
Hello?
But it was never empty. The tavern was run by Mary Hogan. 51 years old, 200 pounds, a woman who could swear a blue streak and arm wrestle half the county, the male half, and win. But where was Mary? Seymour knew his way around the place. Best thing to do is wait, but why wait thirsty? He reached around the bar, grabbed a glass, and poured himself a tall, cool one. Ah, that tasted good. When you're sitting alone on a bar stool in a tavern that's never deserted, it's an odd feeling. It feels off, wrong. From his stool, Seymour scanned the room. His foot hit something. He looked down to see what it was. He reached down and picked it up. It was a .32 caliber cartridge, spent. He looked around the bar when he saw something else on the floor, something that chilled him. It was a large patch of blood. It was streaked, as if a body had been dragged through it. He followed the bloody trail outside to the parking area where it vanished, and at that spot, tire tracks of a pickup truck. His heart started beating fast. Did something happen to Mary? He ran down the road to the nearest farmhouse. He phoned the sheriff, who soon arrived to investigate. But other than the cartridge, the blood, and the tracks, they found nothing. Mary Hogan had vanished. She would never be seen again. But her face would. Her face would be seen. Skin from her skull, softened with oil, and stuffed into a paper sack. Mary Hogan would become a mask.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When the local sawmill owner, Elmo Uwick, needed a handyman, he called Ed Gein. Eddie was a slight, peculiar fellow. Everybody around town knew that. But he was a good enough sort. He knew how to fix things. He was good for conversation, and he was particularly easy to tease about women. Elmo loved that. Eddie, though middle-aged, was not just mild and meek. He was also a bachelor. Sometime after Mary Hogan disappeared, Elmo hired Eddie to work on one of his saws. "Eddie, if you had spent more time courting Mary, she'd be cooking for you instead of being missing." "She's not missing." Now, this struck Elmo pretty hard. Of course she was missing. Everybody in town knew she was missing. What in the Sam Hill was Ed talking about? Eddie rolled his eyes and wiggled his nose. Gene biographer Harold Schechter described it as the expression of a dog sniffing a skunk. "She's not missing. She's down at the house now. I went and got her in my pickup truck and took her home." Elmo laughed. Eddie was strange, reclusive, but harmless. Eddie kept saying it to anyone who raised the topic. "She's not missing. She's down at the house right now." "That's a good one, Ed. Tell me another." There was a rumor circulating about Ed Gein. Some folks swore it was true. They'd seen it with their own eyes. Bob Hill was a teenager and the closest thing Eddie had to a friend. They were quite a team, this boy and a man old enough to be his father. Together, they'd hunt rabbits, go to the movies, socialize. One day at Ed's house, the old man brought out some of his prized possessions to dazzle young Bob. "These are genuine shrunken heads from the South Seas," Ed said. "My cousin sent them. He fought in the Philippines during the war." Leathery skin, long matted hair, hollow eyes. Bob couldn't bring himself to touch them. They were not shrunken at all. In fact, they looked all too real. Another two boys lived down the street from Ed. Every now and then they'd visit, because Ed always had the kind of strange things at his house that fascinated young boys with nothing else to do. One boy, who was then 8, recalled walking into Ed's bedroom and seeing 3 heads hanging on the door. Heads with skin, hair, all that. "Are they real?" As he walked home, he asked his brother, "What are those?" "Oh, probably Halloween toys." "Okay." But from that moment on, Ed Gein never let either boy back into his house. April 1947, Plainfield Cemetery, 1:47 a.m. He had been to the cemetery at this time of night many times, alone. Tonight, he would not leave alone. Tonight, he would dig. He read the obituaries every day. He knew many of the names listed there, but some were more interesting to him than others, especially the middle-aged women. Sometimes, while the dirt was still fresh, he would dig, like he was digging now. He made probably 40 visits like this one over the years. He took what he wanted. He took what he needed. And then he returned the casket to the grave and left it as he found it. He was proud of the way he left the graves. He told investigators later they were always in apple pie order. Eddie Gein, simple and mild-mannered, was a ghoul. How was it possible? December 27, 1917. La Crosse, Wisconsin. Christmas still in the air. Snow, snow, snow everywhere. A biting winter wind. Almost alive, pricking you like 1,000 frozen spears. Squeezing his coat closed tighter, the boy trudged through the snow, a few pennies in his hand. Ahead was his destination. The neighborhood bakery. He was here to buy that loaf of bread, that one there. But the money, the coins, they were right in his hand. Where did they go? Not on the floor, not at the door. He would have to go home. The baker carefully lifted the bread and tucked it back behind glass. And home the boy went. His mother would not be happy. He was crying. He lost the coins. He had no loaf of bread. "You dreadful child. Only a mother could love you." Ed Gein was 7 years old. One of Eddie's earliest memories, his parents' grocery and butcher shop. If you go out the back, you're a few steps from a forlorn wooden shed, no windows. Eddie had never seen inside. Many times he had watched his parents take animals into that shed, pigs and heifers. He heard the noises, the screams. What were they doing in there? He waited till his parents weren't around. He crept out the back of the shop and along the path to the shed, black in the distance. He could just open the door a crack, but that was enough to peer inside. And what he saw, in the middle, hanging upside down from a chain in the ceiling, a dead hog. His father held it steady on one side, on the other, his mother ripped a knife through its belly, sliding it all the way down the torso. She reached inside as the hog's guts slid from the carcass into a tub at her feet. Flies, flies everywhere. He saw his mother and his father. They were bathed in blood. Oh, he wasn't quiet enough. His mother heard that noise. She glared at him. What was that glare? What was that expression? A frown? A grimace? No. No. It was a smile. Yes. A smile. A boy's best friend is his mother. That's what Ed Gein believed. Years later, he would say of her, "She was like nobody else in the world. She was painfully neat. She demanded perfection in herself and in Eddie. No friend was ever good enough for her boy." "How could you associate with someone like that?" she'd scream at him. "You will never, ever amount to anything." On rainy nights, with wind whipping through the trees, Eddie would sit at her feet as she reclined in a rocker in the corner of her dimly lit parlor. "Mommy, read to me. Read the Bible." "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth." "Never become contaminated by women," she warned him. "I promise." And so, he drifted off to sleep. A boy's best friend is his mother. Many years later, after Eddie had grown up to become an odd, reclusive, mysterious figure in Plainfield, people claimed they saw his mother on moonlit nights out by the old farmhouse. Townsfolk glimpsed a specter, what looked like a naked old woman with stiff, wiry gray hair, mottled flesh, sunken hollow eyes, and the face of a corpse. Eddie's mother, had been dead for 20 years.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
All right, everybody, gather around. Watch your step. Okay. We all here? Let me just light this oil lamp here. Okay. You are standing in the farmhouse of Ed Gein. As you can see from the calendar on the wall, today is November 16, 1957. Ed's not home, he just stepped out. In fact, he won't be back here, ever. The sheriff's department is on its way here now. They will find this place just as Ed left it. And how did Ed leave it? Well, let's look around. Watch out for the trash, it's everywhere. Junk, spoiled food, old newspapers, garbage, filth, everywhere. And the smell, rancid, putrid, the smell of death. Look at this coffee can. It's stuffed to the brim with lumps of used chewing gum. On the shelf over there, all lined up in almost military precision, dozens of dentures, yellowed and cracked. That bowl you just picked up. Take a closer look at it. It's the top of a human skull, sawed off just above the ear. Oops. Let's take a seat around the kitchen table. Feel the chairs you're sitting on. Smooth, right? That's the leathery feel of human skin. This lampshade, human skin. The shade on the window. Look at the shade pole. That's not a ball of wood. That's a pair of human lips. Come over to the closet. See that belt hanging on the hook? Take a closer look at it. Go ahead. That pattern, that material. Female nipples. Strewn around this room are 9 human vulvas. That one, painted in silver and tied with a red ribbon. This one, sprinkled with salt. There's more. Here in the bedroom, leggings made of human legs. Over there, the skinned upper torso of a middle-aged woman, breasts intact, a cord wrapped around it. Ed wears this like a vest. On a shelf by the window, a collection of masks, 9 of them, all meticulously peeled from human skulls, hair still attached. Empty caverns for eyes. That one is wearing lipstick. There's one room we we haven't looked at yet. And it's the only room on this floor where the entrance was obscured long ago with wood planks. Hand me that hammer. We're gonna remove these planks. There. We'll have to use a lighter. Wow. This is a bedroom, and it is perfect, immaculate, tidy. That bed, the dresser, the bookcase, none of this has been touched in years. It's perfectly arranged, like a shrine. This was his mother's room, long ago sealed like the burial chamber of a pharaoh, a tribute to a god. A boy's best friend is his mother. Let's step outside and get some fresh air. So, the horrors you've just witnessed are beyond imagination. That's the sheriff coming. He'll find everything we've seen and more. Ed Gein, the middle-aged, meek and shy loner of Plainfield, Wisconsin, will be picked up today, the last free day in his life. Amid the rubble, the refuse, the trash of his cabin, high on a wall, facing a shelf of rotting human heads, sits a cross. Jesus hanging there, looking up to heaven, praying for mercy. There will be no mercy for Ed Gein. This is the confession of Ed Gein. 9 hours. That's how long they spent with him. Eddie, do you remember taking any of those female parts and holding them over your penis to cover your penis? I believe that's true. Would you ever put on a pair of women's panties and then put some of these vaginas over your penis? That could be. Did you ever use the skins as masks, placing them over your own face? That I did. Did you wear the faces for a long time? Not too long. I had other things to do. So, from several bodies, you stitched together a suit made of human flesh, including all the parts, and then you wore it. Yes, that's right. Where did you wear it? Outside, in the moonlight. Was there a resemblance in some of these faces to that of your mother? I believe there was. Some. The investigators, none of them psychiatrists, concluded that Ed had an unnatural attachment to his late mother. And he always wished he had been a woman instead of a man, they said. He studied anatomy and wondered whether it would be possible to change his sex. He even contemplated doing the operation himself. Or so they said. It didn't take long for Ed Gein, the butcher of Plainfield, to pass from local villain to legend of folklore. Eddie became the subject of dark jokes and limericks, and one particularly macabre spin on a classic Christmas poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the shed, all creatures were stirring, even old Ed. The bodies were hung from the rafters above, while Eddie was searching for another new love. He went to Wautoma for a Plainfield deal, looking for love and also a meal. When what to his hungry eye should appear but old Mary Hogan in her new red brassiere. Her eyes, how they twinkled ever so gay, and her dimples, oh, how merry were they. Her cheeks were like roses when kissed by the sun, and she let out a scream at the sight of Ed's gun. Old Ed pulled the trigger, and Mary fell dead. He took his old axe and cut off her head. He then took his hacksaw and cut her in two, one half for hamburger, the other for stew. and laying a hand aside of her heel, up to the rafters went his next meal. He sprang to his truck, to the graveyard he flew. The hours were short, and much work must he do. He looked for the grave where the fattest one laid, and started in digging with shovel and spade. He shoveled and shoveled and shoveled some more, till finally he reached the old coffin door. He took out a crowbar and pried open the box. He was not only clever, but sly as a fox. As he picked up the body and cut off her head, he could tell by the smell that the old girl was dead. He filled in the grave by the moonlight above, and once more old Ed had found a new love. He let out a yell as he drove out of sight. "If I don't get caught, I'll be back tomorrow night." July 26, 1984, Madison, Wisconsin. Ed Gein, aged 78, opens his eyes. Senile. His body riddled with cancer. That was his final breath. Liver and respiratory failure. At Plainfield Cemetery, they're digging his grave now. The plot will never be marked. There are no family and no friends present, no tears, just the gravedigger. Inquisitive reporters will soon scour this cemetery looking for clues to Eddie's final resting place. They'll find a spot filled with fresh earth, no headstone, no flowers, just dirt. It will be easy to find, really, because it's beside another grave. And on that headstone, Augusta Gein, mother. Today, the graves are overgrown with brush, ignored for generations. Still, the curious visit this godforsaken spot. They gather at midnight and listen. Sometimes, in the deep and the dark, when the moon is full, they say you can hear the sound of something clawing, scratching under the earth. The sound of two dead hands touching.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Inside Psycho ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
From Wondery, this is a six-part deep dive inspired by the story behind an unforgettable classic movie. This is Inside Psycho. Written and narrated by Mark Ramsey. Sound design and editing by Jeff Schmidt. Produced by Mark Ramsey Media. Executive producers Jeffrey Glazer and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. Tell your friends about this show, and Mother thanks you.